Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 4, Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni, text number 70. Tapo vidya ca vipranam nishreyasa hare ube ta eva dhurvini tasya kalpate korta anyata tapo vidya ca vipranam Nishreyasa kare ube te eva durvini tasya kalpe kundur kalpate kartur anyata tapo vidya ca vipranam Nishreyasa kare ube Eva dhurvini tasya kalpate kartur anyata tapo vidya ca vipranam nishreyasa kare ube Eva dhurvini tasya kalpate kartur anyata Eva durvinitasya Tapa, austerities, vidya, knowledge, cha, also, vipranam, of the brahmanas, nishreyasa, of what is certainly very auspicious for upliftment, kare, our causes, ube, both of them, te, such austerity and knowledge, eva, indeed, durvinitasya, when such a person is an upstart, kalpate, become, kartu, of the performer, anyata, just the opposite. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki. For a brahmana, austerity and learning are certainly auspicious, but when acquired by a person who was not gentle, such austerity and learning are most dangerous. Purport. It is said that a jewel is very valuable, but when it is on the hood of a serpent, it is dangerous despite its value. Similarly, when a materialistic non-devotee achieves great success in learning and austerity, that success is dangerous for all of society. So-called learned scientists, for example, invented atomic weapons that are dangerous for all humanity. It is therefore said, Munina bhutita sarpa kim asau na bhayankara. A serpent with a jewel on its hood is as dangerous as a serpent without such a jewel. Durvasa Muni was a very learned brahmana, equipped with mystic power, but because he was not a gentleman, he did not know how to use his power. He was therefore extremely dangerous. The Supreme Personality of God is never inclined toward a dangerous person who uses his mystic power for some personal design. By the laws of nature, therefore, such misuse of power is ultimately dangerous, not for society, but for the person who misuses it. Om Gyanatamarandasya Giranjana Salakya Chakshum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Kroti Vacha Lung Pungun Lung Hare Te Gurim Yat Kripata Raham Bande Shigurum Niratharanam Mancha Kaupachivyasya Kripa Sindhu Jevacha Paditanam Pavani Vivaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. So here in the word for word, it says that this austerity and knowledge is very auspicious for one's upliftment, for one's spiritual upliftment. But if it's misused, it can be very dangerous, as we're seeing here. And here also, it's mentioned here in the translation, Krishna or Narayan, he says that if one is not gentle, then this is what makes it so dangerous, if one is proud. You see, this austerity and learning, it's a mode of goodness to have these things. It's a mode of goodness. But the problem with the mode of goodness is that one becomes proud of being in the mode of goodness. So therefore, it's also very important that along with this knowledge and austerity, that one be gentle. Just like a fruit tree that's bearing many fruits on it, the branches all bow down because they have these nice fruits filled with juice and pulp. So if a devotee is filled with good qualities, then he also is gentle. He bows down. So this gentleness is very important. And even Krishna himself was very gentle. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, he was there was different devotees doing different things. So he was washing the feet of everyone that came. That's very gentle, very mild, humble. And when King Yudhisthira, when Krishna went to go visit King Yudhisthira and the other Pandavas there in Hastinapur, when King Yudhisthira saw Krishna, he got down to pay obeisances to Krishna, but Krishna got down before him to pay obeisances to him. Yeah. Although he's God. So even Krishna, he's gentle, he's mild, yeah, humble. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, also, when he was in South India, he came to one person. He was going around, he was preaching and chanting and dancing, and so many people were inspired. So he came across one person who was extraordinarily ecstatic. He was just so happy in the association of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya asked him, "Who is your spiritual master?" He said, "My spiritual master is Madhavendra Puri." She said, "Oh, that explains it. That's why you're so happy." So then Lord Chaitanya went to bow down to him. And he said, "No, no, 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 don't bow down to me. You're a sannyasi, please don't do it. No, 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 you're my God, you're my spiritual master's God brother, so I must offer respect to you like I would respect my spiritual master." So Lord Chaitanya is also very gentle. And this is the result, actually, if we take this process seriously, that we'll also somehow become gentle. So this austerity and this knowledge, it can be a big pitfall. There's one instance within our society of one devotee. He was on a traveling party. They were going around. They were distributing books. Six devotees, the library party. And this one devotee, no need to mention names, but he was very austere, extremely austere. He would only sleep maybe 2 hours a night, and he would have all his, you know, he'd get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and chant all his rounds, and he was only eating once a day, and even that was not very much. So he was very austere. But he started looking down on the other devotees. You know, they're sleeping so much, eating so much. You know, what is this? You know, they're not very devoted. You know? So he started looking down on the other devotees. And therefore he kind of separated himself from the other devotees. And eventually one of them came up to him and said, "You know, we're going to split up. The party's going to split up now. We're going to go different directions." And he said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Because of you. Because you've created so much, it's just become so cold in the party. So basically, because of you." And he felt so bad. He felt so bad. He had no idea. So then he completely changed his whole program. He was still austere, but not as austere. And he started being very respectful to the devotees, and somehow he was able to save it, and they were able to continue on with the library party. But he saw the result of being too austere and letting it go to your head, and looking down on other devotees. In the Vedas, it stated, "Ararito yadiris tapasat takim." If one has attained Krishna, then what is the use of performing so many austerities? And if one has not attained Krishna by great austerities, then what is the use of performing austerities? So this morning we heard that austerity is actually, it's of the internal energy of the Lord. Therefore, Krishna told Brahma in the beginning, tapo, these two syllables, tapa, tapa. This austerity is very good, but we shouldn't overdo it. It could be a disturbance to our advancement in Krishna consciousness. And knowledge also. Sometimes people become very, devotees become very knowledgeable, and it can be a disturbance. Therefore, it's stated one should not read too many books because one can become bewildered. We have so many nice books that Srila Prabhupada has kindly left us. If we just read these books, then we're doing just fine. I've come across many devotees that are they're reading other books now that were not given to us by Srila Prabhupada. And they many of them come up with different concepts of our philosophy. And I'm just thinking, I'm not going to read anybody's books but Prabhupada's because you can get bewildered by reading all these different books. Even there may be books from some of our acharyas in the line. But they have different, you know, different ideas about, you know, different thoughts. So we have to be very careful. So, and also, many sannyasis came to America before Srila Prabhupada came, and very knowledgeable. And they even had knowledge of Krishna. But they wouldn't give any information of Krishna. They would hide Krishna. But Srila Prabhupada, he never hid Krishna. He was always giving Krishna. He wanted everybody to learn about Krishna. So therefore, book distribution was the main activity when Srila Prabhupada was here. Still, it's an important activity, but it's nothing like it was when Srila Prabhupada was here. Yeah. Practically everybody was distributing books. So it's important that we let people know of the glories of Krishna. I haven't said this story for a while, but it's a nice story, so it's worth repeating. For those who have already heard it, you'll appreciate it again. My favorite pastime of Prabhupada, in India, the devotees were traveling around India. This is back in 1970. 25 devotees. Prabhupada had asked the temple presidents from different temples around the country to send their best men, because he's going to spread Krishna consciousness in India now. So they were traveling all around India, having so many programs. This, call them as dancing white elephants. People were amazed to see the Europeans and the Americans chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. So they went to one city, Madras, in eastern India. And there was one minister there that very much liked the devotees. So he invited the devotees to stay at his house, and he gave them a whole flat. He had a big house, so he gave them a whole flat. So the devotees were all living there. And this minister was very fond of one of the devotees, and that was little Saraswati. She was about 3 years old. She was very enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. She was preaching and she was dancing and chanting, extremely enthusiastic little girl. So this man, he wanted to give a present to her, so he gave her this solid silver murti of Krishna. And she was very happy to have this solid silver murti of Krishna. So she was admiring it. And then she set it down and went playing in the house. And Prabhupada said to him, you know, this is very nice that you've given her this murti, but it's very expensive and she's a little girl. She'll probably lose it. So maybe you can give her something less expensive. He said, yes, I have just the thing. So he went to get the the other murti. Meanwhile, Prabhupada had taken the silver one. So then Saraswati came back, and she was looking for Krishna. Where she had put Krishna, he wasn't there. So she asked the devotees, where is Krishna? I put Krishna, he's not there, where is he? So Prabhupada immediately caught her mood, and he said, well, go look in the bedroom. Go look in the bedroom, probably there. So she ran into the bedroom looking all over for Krishna, and came back, no, Prabhupada is not there. Go in the kitchen, maybe someone put him in the kitchen. So she went in the kitchen, she's looking all over the kitchen. No, Prabhupada is not there. Oh, I wonder where he is. And then Prabhupada said, go look in the other bedroom. I bet she's there. And she went looking. Now she's getting an anxiety. And Prabhupada started chanting a verse, Hey Rad, Hey Raja Devike Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kuta, Shri Govardhana Kapa Parabatale, Kalin Divanye Kuta, Gosantarvati Sarvato Vajapare, Kedhar Mahavi Valo, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yugo, Shri Jiva Gopalako. That the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they were looking all over Vrindavan for Krishna, the son of Nanda Maharaj, and Radharani, the daughter of King Vrishabhanu. They were looking in Govardhan Hill and Jamuna, looking everywhere. Where is Krishna? So she had this mood, just looking everywhere. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So then she comes to the devotees and she says, she's practically in tears. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And then Syamasundar, the father, says, Saraswati, who has Krishna? Then it dawned on her, Prabhupada has Krishna. So then she went to Prabhupada, she paid obeisances. He went, Prabhupada, you have Krishna? Yes, I have Krishna. And by then the man had returned with another murti, and he gave her this more colorful, one of those clay, more colorful murtis of Krishna. And she didn't even notice, she was just happy to have Krishna. So this is the one time Prabhupada hid Krishna. And what was the result? All the devotees were amazed to see Prabhupada bring out this so much Krishna consciousness from this little girl. So it increased. When Prabhupada hides Krishna, it increases everyone's Krishna consciousness. And this is what he was so expert at, increasing people's Krishna consciousness. Yesterday I was distributing books at the Santa Monica Promenade, and I approached one man, and he said, Krishna consciousness, right? I said, yeah, I have the books. Yeah. And then half hour later, I approached another man, Krishna consciousness, right? Yeah, I have it. I'm amazed they know this term, you know, Krishna consciousness. Because we're known as the Hare Krishnas, you know, but a lot of people know this term, Krishna consciousness. Because Prabhupada wanted everybody to be conscious of Krishna. So this is the goal. But because Durvasa Muni, he was kinda separated from Krishna. He wasn't so Krishna conscious. And therefore it stated, Boyam Duttiya Binivesitasya Risadapetasya Viparyo Smati. That when one forgets Krishna, then he becomes overwhelmed by fear. And because of being separated from Krishna, one's conception of life is reversed. Instead of thinking that one is the servant of Krishna, one becomes the competitor of Krishna. And the only way to nullify this misconception is to again engage in the service of Krishna. And then, one is free of the harassment of material nature. Now here, Durvasa Muni, he was being harassed by the Sudarsan Chakra. That's much better. He's getting purified by this. Yeah. But this is the problem, that people have become separated from Krishna. And therefore, instead of trying to serve Krishna, instead of cooperating with Krishna, we compete with Krishna. So this is the major problem. So by this process, by practicing this process of Krishna consciousness, then eventually we'll get purified. And we'll just want to serve Krishna. We'll just want to cooperate with Krishna and do that which is most pleasing to Krishna. And then the mind will be purified. I was just reading recently in one purport. It said in the Vedas that when the mind is controlled, we experience fearlessness. Because the mind is out of control. It's going here, and it's going there. Therefore, one becomes filled with fear. But this is how to become free of fear. The more we engage in devotional service, the more we're fixed in devotional service, the more we're able to become free of the thirst of the mind for sense gratification. The mind is thirsty for sense gratification because of our not understanding who we are, that we're the soul within. Actually, we should thirst for devotional service. This is what we should thirst for. This is what we should be begging Krishna for. This is devotional service. And when we attain this higher taste of devotional service, then we won't look for this lower pleasure. This guy was speaking to one student the other day at the observatory, Griffith Observatory. We have this now. It's open for book distribution. It's a nice facility. So one student, he was asking me, so how can you give up all this opportunity for sense gratification and live this very austere life of being a monk? So I said, well, let's say you're very hungry. You're very hungry. And a friend of yours, he gives you a big half of a pizza. You're going to be real happy, right? He said, oh yeah. But what if it's cold? Will you still be happy? He said, yeah, well, if I'm real hungry, yeah. But then what if someone brings the other half and it's nice and warm? Which one are you going to take? He said, all right, good point. You get some higher taste. Then you reject the cold pizza. You take the warm pizza, right? So this material life, it's like a cold pizza. It's not very nice, yeah? So Krishna consciousness is a warm pizza. It's nice, yeah? He can appreciate the example, yeah? So the more we take shelter of Krishna, the more we'll be able to experience this Krishna consciousness. The more we'll be able to experience that we're not this body, that we're the soul, that we're the subtle soul. Yeah. We're the subtle soul within this body. And we can purify. Then we can purify the mind. The mind is also subtle, but it's lower than the soul. So, actually, Prabhupada was speaking about this. Sometimes, of course, we hear this again and again. That the mind is it's a rascal, it's a demon, and Prabhupada, first time I ever said this, he said, don't blame the mind. Don't blame the mind. It's coming from the soul. The mind is a rascal because we're a rascal. We, the soul within, we're a rascal. So therefore, all this is bubbling up to the mind. So we have to pray to Krishna to become sincere devotees of Krishna. Then the mind will also become a devotee of Krishna. Yeah. Of course, it's the biggest challenge that we can face. But even in this attempt to become sincere devotees, it's nice. It's a nice process. Yeah. So, maybe I'll stop there. Any question or comment? Yes, the microphone is just now coming.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a wonderful class. You said that you only read Srila Prabhupada's books, and I had heard that Srila Prabhupada instructed his disciples to write books about Krishna consciousness in order to inspire others, especially for beginners. Maybe reading a Bhagavad Gita with a lot of Sanskrit can be a little overwhelming. And reading a book like The Journey Home by Radhana Swami or Watering the Seed by Guru Raj Swami, do you find that these books are not valuable or that they are only for beginners coming into Krishna consciousness and to inspire them on the path, and then as you advance to only read Srila Prabhupada's books, or that we can't learn from each other?
Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, for clarifying that. Yeah. Devotees that are connected to Prabhupada, those books are wonderful. And therefore also we have BTG articles, so many wonderful articles coming from devotees. And yeah, The Journey Home, I read it twice, it's wonderful. So yeah, it's all right to read books that are by devotees that are very connected to Prabhupada, because they're in his mood. Yeah. So yeah, thank you for bringing that up.
Thank you.
Yes, Amala Bhakta Prabhu, or Amala Bhakta Prabhu's books are also very, very nice. A little plug for Amala Bhakta Prabhu. And Dutta Karma's books, also wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you, I was going to remind you about that. Seriously, thanks for a very wonderful class. And in regard to Kumi Yoguni's question, the point that Srila Prabhupada would often make and emphasize is that there are many books coming from the Gaudiya Math in which the Siddhanta is not always the same, meaning the conclusions, and the process is not always the same, and the basis for initiation is not always the same. So there were complete differences which could only confuse devotees, and if they practiced these other forms, could also get them into some difficulties and to some troubles, especially dissensions with other devotees. So that was one particular aspect. Also, devotees who are not very strong in their spiritual life, who did not have strong faith, who did not have a very high philosophical understanding, or even knew the philosophy very well, if they would read things which came out which had a lot of impersonalistic strains in them, they could very easily be not only attracted to them, but absorbed in them, and even become an impersonalist as a result. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes that very clear, that we should never read the commentaries of Shankaracharya, because they are very persuasive, and they can absorb and convince even a person who is not truly and deeply fixed up in Krishna consciousness and does not know the antithesis or the answers to the particular statements made in those commentaries. So therefore, it's just, as you mentioned very nicely, to stay on the safe side, it is good to stay with Srila Prabhupada's books, and to stay with Srila Prabhupada's, as was just mentioned, those devotees who are fixed up, firm, steady with Srila Prabhupada, and are simply in re-enunciating what Srila Prabhupada has said and exemplifying them by, as the Giriraj's books and Radhanath Prasad,
and Amala Bhakta's books.
I'm not fishing. So those books, what they do is they simply make more concrete, more crystallized the philosophy of Srila Prabhupada, as opposed to watering down, as opposed to disregarding or ignoring. So therefore, yes, we should read those books of very fixed up devotees. I find them very, very inspiring and stimulating, and I find that they bring me more closely and more deeply into Srila Prabhupada's books because of those authors' faith, interest, devotion, and love of Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Amalam in Archit Prabhu.
Vijay Prabhu, thank you for the nice example. It rang home because in college we used to have this joke. College life means at night you eat hot pizza and drink cold beer, and the next morning you have warm beer and cold pizza for breakfast. So I'm sure that's why it rang home with that young man, because it's probably still true nowadays. Want to speak of books. Prabhupada didn't even want us to hear from others in the line of the Gaudiya Math. You could say that ISKCON comes out of the Gaudiya tradition, for sure. But Prabhupada, when he was alive, he would caution the devotees. He said he wouldn't allow his godbrothers to come in his temples and give classes. That may seem extreme. But Prabhupada said clearly, he said, the reason I'm doing this is because if they say one word different, you will be confused. So what to speak of books or classes, we need to imbibe Prabhupada's mood, even in dress. Prabhupada himself shaved regularly, for instance. And there was that one time when he made the joke. He was saying that Lord Chaitanya came to save you, but some devotees heard shave you. And then Prabhupada picked up on that. He said, yes, he's come to save you and to shave you. So Prabhupada wanted us to be clean-shaven. Bhaktavatar, are you listening to me? Prabhupada wanted us to be clean-shaven. If we're going to represent Prabhupada in the community, which is by nature what we do once we walk out of here, Prabhupada wanted us to be clean-shaven. That was his mood. Other organizations are free to do what they want. And we can't get around organization. That's just part of life. It's funny, people want organized government, organized police, but when it comes to religion, no organization. I'm not into organizations. That's nonsense. You're not going to have anything pure or nice if there's no organization. So even in religion, spirituality, there has to be organization. And each organization has its mood. So Prabhupada's organization, ISKCON, has a certain mood of dress, of food, of culture. It's a culture.
And if we want philosophy.
If we want to be Prabhupada's followers, we have to catch up that mood and continue it. Hare
yes.
Krishna.
Thank you very much. Balaram Prabhu. You don't need a microphone.
Thank you for your class, Vijay Prabhu Ki Jai. So this is a real life story of it's pure devotee syndrome. My Gurudev called it pure devotee syndrome. When the devotee gets this syndrome, he thinks he's pure and everyone is kanishta. This is very bad. So this happened with one Sanskrit scholar that was actually translating for Prabhupada. This is a real life, and he was there. And this devotee actually went back to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, could you bless me that I will find my guru? Prabhupada initiated this devotee. And you know what Prabhupada blessed him? I bless you that you will find your guru in 60,000 lifetimes. So this is, and then after that Prabhupada wrote the different temples and told him that this devotee is a snake. Beware of him. That this is a snake.
Yeah.
You have to beware of this.
Yeah,
so this that was the verse is dangerous. If this knowledge is acquired by one person whose heart is totally contaminated and not purely blessed, purified fully, he can misuse. Just like Hitler got some of this knowledge, and he's very contaminated. So this is a very important knowledge. And in the hands of a serpent, it is very, very dangerous.
Yeah, thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada, he once said that we should know his books like a lawyer knows his law books. So we should really learn Prabhupada's books. And not necessarily, we have so many books, not necessary to go off into other books. Yeah? Not necessary. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.